This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? الحمد لله الحمد لله. Night number 9 and may Allah accept all that we've done thus far. Almost 1/3 of the month finished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Ameen. This evening we talk about the third major sign of Qiyamah, and that is the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And subhanAllah, before we begin, the signs of Qiyamah and Qiyamah itself, the Barzakh, these are all a part of the Ilmul Ghaib. Things that we will not fully understand. In fact, the reality has been kept hidden from us. And when we discuss matters of the unseen, whether it is Dajjal, whether it is Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the methodology is we try and we first look at what the texts say, the Quran and the Sunnah, and try to understand things in the most literal way before we delve into metaphorical meaning. And this is a good thing. Just think about it. You don't want the ulama giving you their opinions and saying that this is what Allah said. Rather, we look at what the texts say, black and white in Arabic, and then we add our interpretations and opinions. And so, inshallah, with Ya'juj and Ma'juj, as with all the signs of Qiyamah and the matters of the unseen, we only understand a portion of it, and another part we don't understand. And Allah mentions in the Quran that He reveals ayat, that they are muhkamat, that they are ayat that are clear, clear as the daylight. There's no reason to delve into too much thinking and tafsir. And these are Ummul Kitab. This is the majority of the ayat. But some of the ayat are mutashabihat. Mutashabihat meaning that they are not as clear. And only those whom Allah allows, or those who have insight, Allah gives the ta'wil, the understanding, or the deeper meaning of these ayat. And so, inshallah, we ask Allah to guide us. So with regards to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are actually mentioned in the Quran. Unlike Dajjal, he's not mentioned in the Quran anyway. And obviously the fact that something is in the Quran is far more significant. And even the coming of Nabi Isa, we said, is implied. Now, when Allah says that وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمُ لِلسَّاءَ, that the Isa is a sign of Qiyamah, this in itself is not as explicit, whereas Ya'juj and Ma'juj are explicitly mentioned in two places in the Quran. The first in Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah says وَحَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ, that Allah has made a law that a nation that has been destroyed, He destroyed a nation, أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجُونَ, that they will never ever come back. Once Allah destroys a people, He will not allow them to return. They're destroyed completely. حَتَّى إِذَا فُتِحَتْ يَأْجُوجْ مَأْجُوجْ, that this law will remain until, what does it mean? Until يَأْجُوجْ مَأْجُوجْ come. Meaning until Qiyamah, that this will stay until Qiyamah. Or the fact that when يَأْجُوجْ مَأْجُوجْ comes, Allah will allow destroyed nations to return. And this might play into our discussion with the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So Allah says that no nation will return after it has been destroyed. Hatta idha futihat, until Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Futihat meaning they are unleashed. It's very important. The verb futihat means they were unleashed or they are released. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْزِلُونَ, and when they are unleashed, they will swarm down every hill and every mound. So they would appear to be a group that is of huge numbers, and they will swarm, almost like insects coming out of a mound. This is the imagery that you get from the ayah. The other place in the Quran which is a lot more discussed is, of course, Surah Al-Kahf, that we all know, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. Also a story that, subhanAllah, we only know a little bit of this information. The Bani Israel asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell us about the man who traveled throughout the land, or traveled to the east and the west. And so Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْقَرْنَيْنِ, you ask about Dhul-Qarnayn, I will tell you about his story. Now, just side note, Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul means the possessor of Qarnayn. Qarn is a horn, or it could mean in the Quran, when Allah uses the Qarn, it means an age, an epoch, a generation. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ قَرْنًا آخَرِينَ, we brought a new Qarn, a new people, an age. So Qarn can either mean a horn, but it's never used in the Quran as horn. It's always used as an age or a time or an epoch. So does it mean he's the man that literally has two horns? He's got a helmet with two horns? This is the vast majority of the Mufassirin. The classical default is he had a helmet with two horns. He was a king. The other, side tafsir is he's someone that appears in two ages, was traveling traveling through time or traveling through different worlds. Allahu alam. Anyway, they ask you about Dhul-Qarnayn. Qul sa'atlu alaykum min dhikra. We'll tell you a bit about his story. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard, that we established him. We made him, we gave him a lot of might and power in the land. And we gave him min kulli shay'in sababa. We gave him the means to travel to wherever he wished. If he wa- fa'atba'a sababa. So he took one of these routes, these paths, until he reached hatta idha balagha maghrib ash-shams. He came to the place where the sun is setting, and he found that it appeared to him to be sitting in a spring of dark water, where he found some people there, and he found people living around this water. And so Allah asks him, we said, which thumma imma an tu'adhibu wa imma an tatahfihim husna. Allah inspires the Dhul-Qarnayn. Who are these people? What will you do with these people? Will you punish them? Will you harm them? Will you exploit them? Or will you leave them? So he said, amma man dhalama, for those who commit dhulm, those who are evil, فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ, we will punish them. And then we will send them to you, Ya Allah, so that you can punish them even more severely. But as for those who believe, we will, they will have the finest reward from me, and we'll assign them an easy, we'll make easy for them. We will support them. So this is what Dhul-Qarnayn mentioned. Then Allah says, he left, and ثُمَّ عَدْبَى سَلَبَى, he took another path. And he came upon بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ, he had a place where the sun was rising. وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُ عَلَى قَوْمٍ, he found it rising upon a people, لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا, people that didn't even have clothes. Very, very primitive people. You know, they didn't even have clothes. كَذَلِكَ, Allah says, and he left them just like that. He did not interfere with them. وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ حُبْرًا, and we know all, Allah says, we know everything about him, but we don't mention what he did to those people, he just left them. ثُمَّ أَدْبَعَ سَبَبًا, and then he went on a third journey. And this is, of course, where our focus tonight. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ سَدَّيْنِ, he came to a place between, a gap between two mountains, a valley, basically. وَوَجْدَ مِن دُونِهِمَا, and he found close to this place, a people, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا, a people that he could not communicate with, a people that were, they could not understand each other. Eventually, once they learned to talk to him, or he could communicate, they قَالُوا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ, he said, they said to Dhul-Qarnayn, إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ, that very يَأْجُوجَ مَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they are causing mischief in the land. فَهَلْ نَجَعَلَكَ حَرْجًا عَلَى أَن تَجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا, they said, we will pay you a tribute if you are able to build a barrier between us and them. Can you put a partition between us and يَأْجُوجَ مَأْجُوجَ. قَالَ مَا مَكِّنِّي فِي رَبِّي خَيْرًا, whatever Allah has given me is better than what you can provide me. فَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا, however, give me manpower. I'm going to need people. I'm going to build something, but I need labor. And I will build between them and you. They asked, can you build a wall? He said, I will build a barrier. Right? So again, he used a different word. They asked for a sad, a partition. He said, I will build a special barrier between you and them. Bring me blocks of iron. Atuni zubra al-hadid. Bring me blocks of iron. Hatta idha sawa bayna sadafain. Until that he filled the gap between the two barriers, between the two worlds, Allahu alam, between the two valleys, he filled this, he closed the gap with these iron blocks. He then said, qala unfahu. He said, blow upon it. Now blowing again is a very interesting thing. You find min sharri naffathati fil uqad. One of the ways of using magic is to blow inside knots. Blowing, Allah alam, has some special ability in the supernatural world. And so he blew on these blocks, hatta idha ja'alu nara, it became like fire. Now the tafsir, you'll always find the it became red, hot or red, but the actual word in the Quran is hatta idha ja'alu nara, it became fire. That blocks turned into fire. قَالَ آتُونِي أُفْرِغْ عَلَيْ قِطْرًا, and then he said, I will pour over copper over this block, this blocks of iron that turned red like fire. And then he said, فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوا وَمَا اسْتَطَاعَ لَهُ نَقَبًا. Now he says it will be impossible for Ya'juj and Ma'juj to climb over this barrier or to tunnel through it. قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي, that this is a mercy from Allah upon you. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي, but when the promise of Allah comes, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا, Allah will cause that this barrier will level, will collapse. وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا, and the promise of my Lord is true. وَتَرَقْنَا بَعْدُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذِ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ, on that day, basically when the barrier collapses, we will let them surge again. The imagery of Ya'juj and Ma'juj is like the swarm, like a tide, like a wave. They will surge out into the world. وَنُفِخَ فِي سُورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا, when that happens, it's very close to when the trumpet will be blown and Qiyamah will come. So this is the reference from the ayat in the Quran. Allah doesn't say what they are, what they look like, what their purpose is, just that they are huge in number, that they cause mischief in the land, and between us and them, there is some barrier built by the Dhulqarnain. Where they are, what they are, that we don't have the details. Now let's go to the hadith. Let's see what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are digging every day. They are trying to tunnel through this hole daily. And when they can almost see through the rays on the other side, they see the rays of the sun on the other side, they then stop digging and they'll say, we'll come back tomorrow. Then Allah causes this barrier to regenerate and it becomes strong as it was before. So everything they did is nullified. Allah returns the barrier to its strength. And then when they come, they again dig this all the time. They're doing this all the time until one of them says, okay, we'll come back and dig through it tomorrow, inshallah. They say, inshallah. Because they never say, inshallah. And when they say that, the next day they come and they'll find the barrier broken and they will dig through it and then they will completely destroy it. And when they break through the barrier, this wall of Dhulqarnain, they will come out and they will then cover the earth and drink up all the water. And the people will, basically be unleashed. And then people will flee from them. And they will fortify themselves in fortresses and in the mountains. And this is part of this many hadith we're going to put together. After that, when Ya'juj and Ma'juj covers the entire land, the hadith says they will shoot their arrows towards the sky. And it will appear like their weapons will come down bloodied. And they say, we have killed the people on the earth. And now we have killed the people that live in the sama, in the heavens. Then Allah will send a worm in there, a worm that will bring them a disease, and they will all die of a certain plague, and they will all basically fall dead. The Nabi says, by the one in whose hand my soul is, the beasts of the earth will grow fat on their flesh, and they basically, then the animals will eat their carcasses, and they will cover the entire land. Right, so that's one hadith. They will come out, they will basically cover the whole earth, the people that will remain will be in hiding. And then once they dominate the earth, they will try to fight with those living in the sama. Who's living in the sama? Inshallah, we maybe can opine on that later. Right. In another hadith, while they are like that, Allah will send. So where we stopped, the Imam Mahdi unites the ummah. We have this great war with European powers, and this is called the Malhama. And just as things are progressing, we conquer Constantinople, Dajjal is released. And for 2 years, if you take the hadith of 40 days, the first being 1 year, then it's about 2 years that Dajjal will cover the entire world and he will completely defeat everyone and conquer every land besides Mecca and Medina, and the Mahdi will be in hiding. And then at some point, it is Fajr, as the Adhan for Fajr is going, Nabi Isa will descend in Damascus and he will align up with the armies of the Mahdi. And in fact, this is the last we hear about the Mahdi. The last we hear of the Mahdi is he leads Nabi Isa in Salah, and that's it. We don't know anything about him further. Now Nabi Isa takes over. And the first thing he does is he kills Dajjal. And just as the world is recovering from this Malhama and Dajjal, Allah will inform Nabi Isa that the barrier between Ya'juj and Ma'juj has collapsed, and they will come out. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O Isa, I have brought forth some of my slaves whom no one will be able to kill. You can't even kill them. So take my slaves to At-Tur, Mountain At-Tur, the place where Nabi Musa received the revelation, where Allah spoke to Nabi Musa. Go there in safety. Then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will emerge. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ Then the hadith mentions the ayah. They will come out from every portal, from every hole, from every mound. They will come out. And the first of them will pass by the lake of Tiberias. And they will first start to drink from it. And by the time the last of them comes to it, the entire lake will be consumed. So we imagine that they are of huge quantity. Their quantity is astronomically big. And they will say there once was water. Then Nabi Isa says him and his companions will be besieged until they will be in such a difficulty that the head of an ox would be dearer to them than all the money in the world. Basically, they'll be starving because they wouldn't have any food hiding away. And Nabi Isa will continuously make dua to Allah. Then Allah will send this worm that will enter the necks of Ya'juj and Ma'juj and will infect them, and within 1 day all of them will die of the disease. Then Nabi Isa and his companions will come down and they will not find even the space of it. Now again, the quantity of Ya'juj. They will come out of the cave and they will not find a single place on earth that doesn't have the carcass of Ya'juj and Ma'juj free of their stink and the stench of their blood. Meaning the entire world is covered with the carcasses, the dead bodies of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Then Nabi Isa will make dua to Allah and he will send birds, special birds that will take these carcasses and take it away, and a rain will come and wash the bodies of Ya'juj and Ma'juj away. And after that, there will be this age, we call this the Messianic Age, you know, as you find in the Bible, where there will be complete peace and harmony in the world, where the lamb and the lion will lay together and no fighting and no animosity. There will just be peace that prevails after that. Nabi Isa will now rule, and the world will be fresh and brand new as it was. It's almost like a restart, a reboot of the world. And then after that, Qiyamah will come. Qiyamah will come, with the other signs of Qiyamah. Right. So we mentioned again, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So, after Ya'juj and Ma'juj, so as it mentions, once Ya'juj and Ma'juj are gone, there's a hadith that mentions that the animals will feed on their carcasses, and their carcasses would basically fertilize the ground, and it will produce, there's some nutrition in them that will cause the world to produce its best vegetation. And that's why there'll be no need for fighting, no animosity, there'll be no second religion on earth. It will all just be in peace and harmony. And the hadith mentions that the Muslims, or the people of the world, will use the technology, it says the hadith obviously says the bows, the arrows, and the shields that Ya'juj and Ma'juj left behind for 7 years. They will make use, they utilize whatever Ya'juj and Ma'juj left behind. So that is all that happens, and then afterwards, the next signs of Qiyamah. We'll talk about the other seven signs of Qiyamah after this. There's an interesting hadith about Qiyamah, about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The Nabi Sallallahu says, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call Nabi Adam, and Adam will say, Labbaik, my Lord, wa sa'adaik, I respond to you, Ya Allah. Allah will then say, then there will be a loud call, saying, Allah orders you, O Adam, to take from your progeny a group that will go to Jahannam. Look at your people and look at your children and take a group of them and take them to Jahannam. And Nabi Adam will ask, how many of them must go to Jahannam? So Allah will say, out of every 1,000, 999 will go to Jahannam. One out of every 1,000 will be saved and the rest will go to Jahannam. And so when the Nabi mentioned this, the Sahaba became so despondent, and Allah and the Nabi says, at that time, every pregnant woman will drop her load, and every child will turn grey when they hear this. And you shall see mankind, wahum sukara, they'll become drunk. People will just completely fall unconscious out of the terror, and they are not drunk. Then the Nabi says, but do not be afraid, that out of every 999, 998 will be Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So, 1,000. 998 is Ya'juj and Ma'juj, so go to Jahannam, and the rest will be, so only two people left, two normal people, and one will go to Jannah, and one will go to Jahannam. And so the Sahaba became very, very happy when they said, and then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on, subhanAllah, this is perhaps the most important part. The Nabi says, I hope that you Muslims, my Ummah, will be half of all the people in Jannah, will come from my Ummah. Half of all the people of Jannah will be from my people. And the Sahaba made Allahu Akbar, that is such a great news, that this Ummah will be the majority of the people of Jannah. Even though we are the last, we'll be the first to enter Jannah, and we'll be the bulk of the people of Jannah, walhamdulillah. Right, so how do we make sense of these ayat and tafsir? So the classical scholarly view, and this is before we had Google Earth and we had mapped the world, the Mufassirin had a very simple, said, look, there's a tribe called the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They're a huge tribe in terms of numbers, and they are maybe on some island or they're in some exotic land. And between them and us, there's a massive wall. And if you travel, you'd see this wall somewhere in the world. And they're on the other side and we're on this side. Of course, modern science, we know we've mapped the entire world and we haven't seen a wall of Dhul-Qarnayn. Nor have we found, now look, if it's 1,000 Ya'juj, Ma'juji to one human, it's like 8 billion times 1,000, it's like trillion of them. All right, so this is the classical view. And this is what you find within the Mufassirin. There are others who have said, no, we don't understand these literally. When Allah says that it's 1,000, it just means that there'll be a huge army, and it could be a big nation like Russia or China, and them being released, meaning that they will come out and wage war. Allah alam, it doesn't add up to all the hadith that we have with regards to this, what is mentioned. Some, subhanAllah, you find even some great scholars, modern day scholars, says perhaps these are, even the word like zombies, you know, these are people that or affected by some kind of disease. And you find this genre of apocalyptic sort of stories where the fact that they're eating and you can't fight them, you can't kill them, they're almost like diseased or a group of people that have some kind of problem, the dead being resurrected and causing mischief, Allah alam. And something which I find quite interesting, some Mufassirin says, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Shura, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ and of his signs, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ he created the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّ and he scattered throughout the heavens, throughout the universe, many, many living creatures. Throughout the universe, there are many, many living creatures. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَادِرٌ. And he is able to gather all these creatures together. All these, in every land, in every planet, in every moon, there are people living. They're all worshipping Allah, and he will gather them all together. And so, is it really far-fetched to consider that a race that lives out there, they come to different lands, they conquer, they cause mischief, and Allah had blessed one of our people, Dhulqarnain, with the ability to build a barrier between our world and their world. And the minute this barrier collapses, that is when they will invade our world from different parts. And their advanced technology will mean that we can't fight them. And their huge quantities, as they invade the earth, we'll have no ability to fight them, except that Allah will inflict a disease on them and that they would die. So, Allah A'lam, the point is, we believe that there is something called Ya'juj and Ma'juj, because Allah said so in the Quran. We believe that they are a sign of Qiyamah. The how of it, we don't know, we don't need to know. But that is what we believe. And so far, as I mentioned, you look at these signs, they sound strange. And as you get closer to the point, you understand when the Nabi said, a man will have a time when his thigh will speak to him. We understand what this means. Sahaba had no clue. Their minds must have run wild, but they couldn't imagine there's a little device that uses frequencies and cell phones and this kind of things. They couldn't imagine that. So there is an understanding to this that belongs to Allah. For us, we say, Sami'na wa ta'na, we hear and we obey. We make dua that Allah saves us from this. We'll conclude on this. The three signs are all linked to each other. As you can see, Dajjal, Nabi Isa, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are all, three of them, linked together. The other seven are kind of on their own, but they will happen quickly, and we'll talk about those, inshallah, tomorrow. Last night we asked, where would Dajjal be killed? Maimoon, where's the box? Maimoon, he's not here? Right, Dajjal, where would he be killed? Cape Gate? No, at the Lud Gate. He'll be killed at the Lud Gate. And I said, quite interestingly, subhanAllah, the Lud Gate is where the airport is in Israel. So when Nabi Isa is going to hunt him down, he's going to try to run and get a flight, but he would not succeed. Okay, the next question, actually, I don't know what the question is tonight. The next question tonight, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be killed by a worm, an ant, a camel, or a lion. Okay, I'll leave that while I pull out the prize. Farhad Sali? Adnan, mashallah, Adnan. And Firdaus, Amin? Is Firdaus here? No Firdaus? Jannat al-Firdaus. Zahra Basir? Zahra, yeah? She's not here. Not here tonight. Sumaya Asmal, did she win? Yeah. Sumaya Asmal, she yeah? Sumaya, mashallah, Sumaya, Jazakallah khair. And, yeah, okay, Jazakallah khair. Sorry, last thing, the orphan program. Anybody who can contribute, anybody who can assist, will be struggling to raise money for our orphans tomorrow. If you are able to contribute, may Allah reward you. Ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum.